Raidieraksts drošinātājs. Hello, Anna.
Hello.
You are analyst for the independent analytical platform Vox Ukraine, and you recently published a great research article on the topic of Russia using maps as part of propaganda. It's called Mapaganda. Can you define Mapaganda for our listeners? What's that?
Mapaganda is a form of propaganda that uses maps to manipulate people's minds. And since maps are considered to be an objective source of information, so many people take them as the truth. But in reality, maps are created by people, which means that they can be distorted or specially adapted to like achieve a special or particular goal. For example, to create the impression of control over a certain territory, even if its control is disputed or illegal, or to make the local population feel demoralized.
If we talk about exact examples, maybe, how does Russia use Mapaganda in the context of the current war?
Since the beginning of the war, Ukraine has faced the problem of incorrect representation of its territories in textbooks or mapping products. For example, Crimea is often labeled as a disputed territory, the Donetsk region as an independent region, and the land occupied since 2022 has become like part of Russia on some maps. For example, back in 2014, the Russian politician Vladimir Zhirinovsky suggested that Poland, Hungary, and Romania should divide Ukraine. And the Polish edition of Super Express even published a map showing Wolin and Galicina as Polish territories. Also, the Polish government strongly condemned the map. It still became a tool of Russian propaganda, being used in the media to spread like ideas about the breakup of Ukraine. Then in 2023, Russia brought out a new high school history textbook that only talked about the war in Ukraine from a Russian point of view. They call the temporarily occupied territories as their new regions and make it look like the United States is the main beneficiary of the war. They also include a map that shows not only the occupied territories, but also Ukrainian cities that Russia doesn't control, for example, Zaporizhia and Kherson. And these textbooks are being used in schools in Russia as well as in schools in the temporary occupied parts of Ukraine. Also, Russia has been sharing its own version of what is happening on the battlefield by creating their own war maps. And those versions aren't accurate, obviously, and make the situation look better than it is. On those maps, they change the borders of the areas they control, like to make Russia's military success look bigger than they actually are, and make their own losses look smaller.
Right. Does Ukraine use Mapaganda?
Ukraine doesn't use Mapaganda as Russia uses.
What do you mean by that?
So we have like a project, it calls a deep state. It's like an independent project. And you can see there, like, the battlefield and the occupied territories by Russia. Sometimes they may be mistakes due to the difficulties of with actually investigating this topic. Like, you cannot know whether this city is already occupied or not. So sometimes they may be mistakes, but Ukraine generally doesn't use the Mapaganda on the government level.
Basically, the deep state maps are updated day to day and trying to show where the front line goes and lies. And what you are saying is that there might be mistakes, but they are not made on purpose. If we speak about Russia, then it's actually made on purpose and with a clear goal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How does Mapaganda differ from other forms of propaganda, and what makes it particularly effective or harmful?
Mapaganda isn't just about manipulating images of territories. Here, the problem is that it can actually change how people see reality and even what they believe. First, maps look like an objective source of information, and most people don't think that maps can be like distorted or created for propaganda purposes. And this means that manipulators can use maps to create the image they want in people's minds. Second, the propaganda creates a false understanding of political reality. Like you can take Crimea, for example. If it's constantly shown as part of Russia on maps, people will start to think that's it how it is. And some people might even start thinking it's normal, even though it breaks the international law. Thirdly, maps are very emotive, and they can make you feel proud of your country or fear of what might happen. And Russia often uses this by creating maps showing the division of Ukraine or the threat to NATO. These images can possibly create division and conflict between societies. And last but not least, this kind of propaganda is dangerous for the future. Like when maps with distorted borders are included in textbooks, it usually affects the entire generation. And young people who grow up with these maps, they think that what they're seeing is true. And this can have a really long-lasting impact on how they're manipulated.
But manipulating maps for propaganda purposes is not really a new tactic in the world politics and in Russian history in particular, right? Could you just maybe tell us some examples of propaganda in decades or centuries before now?
Yeah, actually, propaganda isn't a new thing. It actually has deep roots in history, especially in Russian history. And it was used back in the Tsarist era, like to spread political ideas and influence the minds of Europeans. For example, one of the first times it was used by the Tsar Peter the Great. He wanted the world to call Moscovia as Russia, and that Ukraine, which was then marked on European maps as the Cossack land, also be part of Russia. So he initiated the creation of the Atlas of Russia. And this atlas was supposed to be like a reliable source of information for Western countries. And then on the European mapping markets began to appear maps with a part of the modern lands of Ukraine labeled as Little Russia. Another example in the early 20th century, Moscow published a map of the future Europe that was supposed to show how the borders would look after the end of the First World War. And this map showed the Russian Empire as much bigger than it actually was. For example, the Russian Empire's territory in the West included like the whole of the Kingdom of Poland, as well as the Königsberg, which now is Kaliningrad. Mm-hmm. Also, Ukrainian cities like Lviv, Chernivtsi, and Polish cities like Krakow, Gdansk, and Poznań. But actually, at that time, these cities were like part of the different states. And the point of these maps has always been the same, to create a desired political reality on paper and to make other countries see it's the way too. It was like a way of convincing Europeans of the greatness of the Russian Empire and justifying its claims to foreign territories.
So, okay, when we talk about current times, about nowadays, we speak about Russia producing maps that include occupied territories of Ukraine as their own. Okay, that's what they do. But if we look at this topic a little broader, then you also mentioned in your article about international companies being complicit in spreading this propaganda. Could you talk about that as well?
Yeah, unfortunately, international companies, both publishers and online services, are also becoming a tool in the spread of propaganda, even if they do so unknowingly. Russia, for example, is using its big distribution network to spread printed materials, including maps that show Ukrainian territories in the wrong way. For example, Thalia bookstore, Hugenbell, Oral Fusely, Amazon, and other European companies sell maps that show Crimea as a disputed territory or part of the Russian Federation. And these companies may not verify the accuracy of the maps they sell, but they are still contributing to the spread of the distorted information. Also, Natural Earth is a popular platform that is used to create thousands of maps, labels Crimea as a part of Russia. But other occupied territories like Transnistria and Abkhazia are shown within internationally recognized borders. Also, OpenStreetMap is like another service that shows Crimea as part of Russia. But once again, other disputed territories like Transnistria are shown as part of Moldova. Google Maps in this case is even more complicated because it changes the border image depending on where you are. For example, if you are in Ukraine, Google shows Crimea as part of Ukraine. If you are in the European Union, the peninsula is marked as a disputed territory with a dotted line. And in Russia, Crimea is shown as part of the Russian Federation. So that's how it is.
Just a second, I'm interested in seeing what does the map shows me while I'm in Latvia.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, there is a dotted line between Crimea and the mainland. So it means by Google is trying to tell us it's a disputed territory, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What can be done? Is there anything Ukraine can do to talk to Google, to talk to those international companies that are maybe not producing but selling these maps that are used as a propaganda tool?
Actually, countering propaganda in any form, it's a hard thing. It involves governments, international organizations, like regular people and individual activists. For example, Ukraine often sends diplomatic notes and official complaints to the companies that use incorrect maps. Specifically, the Ukrainian Ministry of Foreign Affairs has asked companies like Google and Apple to correct the wrong labels on maps of Crimea and other parts of Ukraine. In addition to official actions, independent projects such as VoxCheck are also active. They conduct investigations, analyze cases of propaganda, and publish materials that expose these manipulations. There are also initiatives in Ukraine that aimed at educating people to recognize propaganda and other kinds of propaganda and understand its dangers. For example, schools, universities, and non-government organizations are actively implementing media literacy courses. This helps people better analyze information from maps and counter disinformation in general.
But what can actually international organizations or governments do to combat propaganda more efficiently?
Organizations may ask different platforms like Twitter, Facebook to search for the propaganda cases and ask them to delete them and also to moderate better. It's in case of organizations.
What would be the biggest consequences of propaganda if you could tell me?
People are starting to see history and the reality the wrong way. Since propaganda is changing how people see borders, where territories have come from, and political situation. And if you don't do something about it, future generations will grow up with a distorted view of the world. Second, I would say it legitimizes aggression and annexation. If mapping goes unnoticed, it becomes a tool to justify aggression. And maps that show occupied territories as part of the aggressor state can be used as evidence to secure control over these lands. And this makes it seem like taking over these lands is fine and even natural. Also, it's starting international conflicts, I would say. Maps can cause problems between countries. For example, maps that show a division of another country can make people distrust each other, and this can lead to new conflicts. Then it's loss of trust in objective sources of information. When maps are used as a propaganda tool, it undermines the credibility of cartography as a science. And people start to doubt any maps, even those based on facts, which makes it difficult to access objective information. It's also learned from manipulation of public opinion. Since maps are a very powerful symbol, if we don't keep an eye on them, they end up shaping the national and international debate. They can influence voters, shape politics, and even attitudes towards war.
And is there anything an individual can do to help fight propaganda?
So the fight against propaganda starts with knowing how it affects us. And we can all help to counterattack the distortion of facts, even if it seems difficult. For example, learn to spot false maps by checking the source and content, especially in regions there are a lot of disagreement. And always check that the map you see or share is the same as the internationally recognized borders. If you see maps that aren't real or aren't real life or on online platforms or in print, such as in stores or services like Google Maps or OpenStreetMap, use the complaint function. The more reports they get, the more likely they are to correct mistakes. You can also get involved in organization or initiatives that are trying to expose disinformation, including Mapaganda. You could even write letters to the companies or publishers that put out maps that aren't correct. You can also share accurate information and correct maps. For example, if you see a map with incorrect borders, simply do not ignore it. You can do this by drawing attention to it publicly or by writing comments with a correction. You can also use something like petitions, open letters, or other public pressure to draw attention to the Mapaganda problem. If people speak up, the companies will often change their policies. Yeah, we must all work together to counter it, because the safety information and justice around the world depend on it. So, every action you take, whether it is checking facts or spreading truthful information, matters.
And probably the most, when speaking about Mapaganda, probably one of the biggest sufferers of this is Ukrainian children under Russian occupation, who have now school books that portray their motherland in totally different shapes, different borders, and different colors, right?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Anna.
Thank you so much, too.
Bye-bye.
Raidieraksts drošinātājs.
Paldies Dīvam par sarunu ar Annu Švecu, analītiskās platformas Vox Ukraine pētnieci, par šo mapagandu vai propagandas veidu, kas izmanto kartas, lai manipulētu ar cilvēku prātu. Šis ir patiešām viens no veidiem, kur var sagrozīt cilvēkiem prātu un būtībā pat nesagrozīt. Es domāju, ka nav jau noslēpums, ka dažādās arī diezgan tālās pasaules vietās varbūt cilvēki jau nemaz tā īsti nezina, varbūt pat kur ir Ukraina, pat neskatoties uz to, ka tur notiek karš un kādam tu vienkārši parādīsi karti, kur Krīma ir pievienota Krievijai, cilvēks tās robežas paskatīsies un pateiks, ka tur viss ir kārtībā, jo ja viņš nezina, viņš vienkārši nesapratīs, ka ar viņu manipulē, ka kaut kas tur nav pareizi, kāpēc gan neuzticēties kartei. Kartei taču visam ir jābūt pareizi, bet jā, manipulācijas no Krievijas puses ir bijušas jau sen vēlme pārrakstīt, nevis tikai vēlme, bet arī reāla vēstures pārrakstīšana, un tas jau arī ne tikai no Krievijas vēsturē, katrs ir rakstījis savu vēsturi, tā teikt. Kartes ir vēl viens veids, kā to izdarīt, jā.
Interesanti, ka piemēram, dažādas sporta pasākumus reklamējot. Es atminos salīdzinoši nesen, pirms mēneša diviem, Eirolīgas basketbola turnīrs taisīja kādu savu reklāmas materiālu, kurā iekļāva karti. Tajā Krīma tika attēlot kā Krievijas sastāvdaļa. Jā, iespējams, ka lielākā daļa to vispār nepamanīja. Bet skaidrs, ka šādas sensitīvas lietas, piemēram, Ukrainai, nepalika nepamanīts un bieži vien tā ir es iedomājos to cilvēku, kurš to karti, to grafiku taisīja, viņš paņēma vienkārši ierakstīja Google, tur Map of Ukraine, paņēma to pirmo rezultātu, ko viņam iedeva, tā izrādījās varbūt iespējams Krievijas ražota vai veidot karte, kurā Krima tika atspoguļot kā Krievijas sastāvdaļa un šis cilvēks nezinot izmantoja šo kārtu un tālāk publiskoja. Un pēc tam jau tikai, tad, kad tā ir publiskota, tad ir liela rezonance. Piemēram, te pašai Eirolīgai nāks atvainoties Ukrainai, ka lūk, sorry, tas nebija apzināti. Bet jā, daudziem iespējams. Tā ir kā pilināšana, zini, pilina, un tad tev vienā brīdī šķiet, ka Krim ir Krievijas sastāvdaļa. Līdz ar to, šādas it kā nevainīgas lietas patiesībā tiešām nu, jāsaprot, kā labā tās strādā un katrā ziņā tā ir Krievijas interese reprezentēt okupētās teritorijas kā savējās. Gal galā, kā mēs zinām, Krievijas konstitūcija tika mainīta, iekļaujot okupētās teritorijas savā sastāvdaļā, kas, protams, nekādā veidā nemaina to faktu, ka Ukrainas teritorijas ir okupētas, bet tās joprojām ir Ukrainas teritorijas. Bet katrā ziņā, starp citu, es gribēju pateikt vienu lietu. Nedēļas nogalēs parasti mūsu intervijas rakstītā veidā tiek publicētas LSMLV, un tur varēsiet arī redzēt šīs kartas, kuras tika pieminētas mūsu sarunā ar Annu. Atradām, tā teikt, lietiskos pierādījumus un publicēsim tos šajā rakstā, tā kā droši meklējiet LSMLV svētdien, visdrīzāk aptuveni dienas vidū šī saruna tiks publicēta. Tur tātad gan varēsiet izlasīt mūsu interviju ar Annu Švecu, gan arī redzēt kartas, kuras viņa piemin. Tas šai reizē mums arī viss. Es zinu, Richard, ka tev ir jau sagatavot nākamās nedēļas interviju, vai tu gribi divos vārdos kaut ko par to pateikt?
Jā, mēs netieši atgriezīsimies atkal Minhenē, kur es nesen pabiju, jo tur es viesojos kādā noliktavā, no kuras tiek sūtīta palīdzība Ukrainai. Ja tā kā parunāšos tur ar kādu cilvēku nākamnedēļ, tad varēsiet dzirdēt un vēl piebildīšu tikai, jā, Dīva teikt to, ka noteikti katru nedēļu arī nedēļas nogalē tiešām ielūkojieties lsm.lv portālā, jo, protams, ka ir interesanti klausīties to visu, bet visu krāšņāku padara tas, ja arī ir vizuāls baudījums un šos te cilvēkus un viņu stāstus varat redzēt arī fotogrāfijās, nu šajā gadījumā šonadēļ tiešām arī pašus piemērus ar kartēm, kā tad tiek manipulēts, tā kā noteikti ieskatieties arī internetā.
Starp citu, radio vadība prasīja mums, nu, kas īpaši drošinātājā būs lielāk ar trešajā gada dienā, un es teicu, ziniet, nekas nebūs, tāpēc, ka mums katru nedēļu ir kaut kas īpašs, un mūsu stilā nav reiz gadā kaut ko uztaisīt grandiozu, mēs turpinām strādāt nedēļu no nedēļas, Tā kā liels paldies, ka jūs klausāties mūsu un liels paldies, ka jūs dalāties ar mūsu epizodēm. Dariet to arī šajā nedēļā, padalieties sociālajos tīklos ar mūsu interviju, ar jebko, kas jums šķiet interesanti, lietojiet mirkļu birku drošinātājs. Tāpat arī mēs priecāsimies, ja jūs atrakstīsiet mums uz drošinātājs @Latvijas Radio LV, tā ir mūsu e-pasta adrese. Rakstiet, ko jūs domājat, gribētu dzirdēt, ko jūs domājat par to, ko jūs esat dzirdējuši, un mēs priecāsimies un noteikti ņemsim to vērā, domājot par to, kādu saturu veidot nākamajās nedēļās. Bet tas šai reizē viss, sakām jums paldies un uz redzēšanos pēc nedēļas vai arī pēc dažām sekundēm, ja klausāties mūsu ierakstā un vienkārši varat nospiest podziņu, lai klausītos nākamo epizodi.
Tiekamies jau nākamnedēļ. Drošinātājs skaidri un personīgi par karu Ukrainā.
Raidieraksts Drošinātājs.